he shouldn't. Case Keenum, yeah. There's a reason he's a backup. What's the like about Case Keenum?
Right, anyway, the filter.
Okay. House brother, I think you'll be included tomorrow. We'll see. But, yes, Cleveland, Denver, that'll be the pick tomorrow night. So the way this works, House brother, you have a bunch of takes that you would like to tweet out, but they have to go through us first. So we will either say send that tweet, end that tweet, or nuclear option, delete your account if it's just absolute rubbish.
Garbage.
Just a garbage take from your House brother. So the floor is yours, buddy. What do you have?
Well, I mean, keeping on the same theme of Case Keenum, I know that I may not get my input tomorrow, so I might as well let it go here. But, oh, I'm kind of with you, man. I think Case Keenum gives the Browns just as good a chance to win tomorrow night in Denver than Baker Mayfield would have.
Nuclear option.
No way, dude. No way, dude. Send it immediately. Send it immediately because we've been talking about the Browns, and I've included them on the Part of the Hype show, and Baker Mayfield is one of the most overhyped things in professional sports. He's starting to get the gears now. I watched the NFL today, all the NFL shows. They are starting to single him out and call him a disappointment this year and a part of the problem.
Well, he's a hero.
Send it, Al's bro. Oh, he's a total hero.
He's a total hero, I will say that. But I think he's a pretty good player, and I want to say right now, if you guys aren't noticing this, the guy in the host chair is playing mind games again with you guys.
Is that what this is?
Absolutely.
Oh, it is. I put the reverse voodoo on Al's brother.
You did some voodoo
thing the
other day.
That guy with the cane at the Dodgers game a couple weeks ago?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. But I think he's just slightly throwing things out there to let you stew on them to see where he's at. But I mean, Mayfield's a pretty good quarterback.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Is he? He's not Tom Brady. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Mahomes. But he's also not Case Keenum. Like, that's where I take issue with the idea that Case, because if Case Keenum could give them the same as Baker Mayfield, then why keep Baker Mayfield in the future? Why would Baker Mayfield be getting the starts? That would suggest if Keenum comes in and plays really well, Baker Mayfield is fighting for his job, and I don't believe that that's the case. So I'll say end it. It's not a nuclear option. And I believe the game is in Cleveland. You might want to get that right. I'm pretty sure the game is in Cleveland, not in Denver tomorrow night. But I will say end it because he's a backup for a reason. Baker is still better. And I think they could be in some trouble tomorrow night. We'll see. We'll find out what your pick is tomorrow. Al's brother, what else do you have for us?
Well, let's revisit a tweet that y'all said to tuck into the drafts a couple of weeks ago. Because I still think that my boy Michael Bunting is a lock for 25 goals.
Okay. You're doubling down on tweets? Is that, like, this has already been through the filter and you want...
You said tuck it into the draft, so I'm curious. Yeah. Can I now put this out there? Can I send this away?
Four games in? Okay.
Is it what? He's got two
goals so far.
Is it on track for 25? Would like to see 25?
No,
or
I think
automatic 25?
I think he's scoring 25.
I'll say send that. He's going to get some opportunities, man. He's got some positive mojo going. He had a great preseason. He's got two and four games, three games. Send it. Send it.
I don't know. It's a big number. I'm not.
Twenty-five's a lot of goals.
I'm saying put it back into the drafts until you're 20 games into the season and see where things settle out. Because
That's a part of this
Sam
exercise.
Sam Steele
though.
Has four goals right now. Who has five? The kid in Detroit. Bertuzzi's got five already. You're going to be like this. Like, you got to just let things breathe in that first week. He's done a great job. I'm happy for him, but let's just see where the dust settles with Bunting. I'd put it back in the draft. I wouldn't end it. I'd just put it back in the draft.
Yeah, I'm going to end it because, listen, he's off to a great start, but I don't think he's not going to get any power play time. He's not going to be a guy that's going to play with the puck on a stick a lot. Like, he's going to have to score in ugly areas, which is what he's basically done his first two goals.
Yeah.
You know, his first goal where it was a stop-up on a two-on-one, give or take, that was a nice goal, nice play by him. But 25, I think it's just more about disrespecting that number. That's a lot of goals in the NHL. 25 is a lot, man.
That's
a consistent goal scorer. And I'm just not prepared to get there with Bunting. Like, 20 would be a spectacular season. Let's clarify that right now. If you could guarantee me 20 goals from Bunting, I would sign off on that in a heartbeat. You're suggesting that you should play it out because you think he'd score more than that, or you believe he will score more than that. I'm not willing to go that far down the road. I've been thoroughly impressed with his play. I like him as a player, but Well, I'm going to end it.
He can move up into the lineup, too, which creates even more opportunities. And if the Leafs are going to shoot the puck on goal, like they had 73 shot attempts the other day, if that's the case, someone who likes to hang around the net, dig around, and get those greasy goals, that's going to create a lot of opportunities for him to score.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and that was the role Hyman played, right?
Exactly.
What did Hyman's... What was his max? I'd have to look it up.
21, wasn't it? 22?
Yeah, that might have been shortened seasons, though, but
right,
yeah.
That's true. I mean, fair. Prorated, yeah.
But still, like, that's... Zach Hyman was not a lock for 25 at any point.
Yeah.
So I'll say ended. What else do you have, Els, brother?
Well, the Montreal Canadiens not off to a great start. 0-4 to start the season. Last time this team went 0-5, they found their GM and coach ousted. Do you believe, or I am saying, that Dom Ducharme and Coach Bergevin are on the hot seat after this slow start?
Interesting. I'll let Noodles go first.
I don't think Ducharme is. They just hired him.
He came in after Julian, right? Like he kind of just supplanted Julian, and then they just anointed him as the head coach.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What are you saying? Kind of, yeah, both of them are getting punted.
Well, not that they're punted, but they're on the hot seat.
Hot seat.
Oh, that soon as they stunk the joint out, if the hot seat fires up there.
Yeah, the hot seat the hot seat is Montreal. Period. Like, they're the same as Toronto. So the same hot seat.
Are you saying, so maybe we got to clarify the hot seat.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Is it the owner's hot seat, Al's brother, or is it the media?
The owner's. Like, yes, I believe that one of those two could get punted if this thing continues to go as south as it has. Like, if they start the season, let's say 1-7, 1-8.
Yeah, that's ugly.
I don't think the coach is going anywhere, and I think Bergevin is... He's going to play out his contract and may not even come back. Like, this is his 10th year. Like, he even alluded to that at his year-end press conference last year. Let's see how it plays out. So if it continues to get ugly, maybe it just goes away, or maybe it is a firing. But I don't think Ducharme's in trouble there, personally.
I don't think they're going to fire Bergevin. He's at the end of the road. They'll let it play out. He may be back. He maybe won't. Ducharme is a little bit different because he was taking a lot of heat at the end of the regular season last year, right? Like, there were some suggestions that maybe he didn't bring as much as you want. And I understand what you're saying in terms of the lineage here, where Julian got fired and Ducharme was his assistant, and then he was just anointed, and then all of a sudden they get to a cup final, and it's like, well, clearly this guy's sticking around. But I'll send it. We're talking 1-7, 1-8. Like, that's really ugly, and any coach in the league should probably expect to be on the hot seat. That doesn't mean he's getting fired. But, you know, it's arbitrary in nature what the hot seat even means, I guess. But, yeah, I'll send that. I'll send it. I mean, it's ugly right now, Montreal. 0-4. Bergevin's doing impromptu press conferences.
And didn't he say today that he thought Shea Weber may never play again?
Yeah, he basically said it's a long shot we're ever going to see him again. Which, like, that's what we've been hearing pretty consistently, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be a weird one to follow, man. Like, he's got a long time on his deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's
tracks back to Nashville.
Yeah.
The cap recapture won't kick in. He's just going to sit and collect money on LTIR. Yeah. And that contract is going to be like Brent Seabrook's. It'll get traded around for the cap hit, right?
Right. Like, no, exactly. This gets back to the whole, you know, Alex Bishop backup goalie because you don't have enough cap room, where the league is like,
stop allowing guys that are like 10 years retired. Chris Pronger got traded like three times.
It's goofy. Datsyuk's in Arizona. Yeah. It's stupid. They're not playing anymore. Like,
shouldn't be allowed.
It just doesn't seem consistent with this hard cap where, you know, you're very diligent on what is allowed and what isn't, but... To your point, Noodles, I think you're right. Shea Weber is just going to collect money and be around, and his contract's just going to move around.
You don't retire and leave that money on the table.
No.
The guy's given his body to the game. The least you can do is continue to take a check the next 5-6 years. Not that he needs the money. The point is if he can never play again, he's just an LTIR piece, like Seabrook.
How do you determine he could never play again is the question. Like, is it mentally he's like, my body's so broken down, I just can't do it anymore?
Well, I think it might be physically, like, hey, this isn't healed right, this is a weird, like, there was always, I'm not privy to the information behind the scenes as far as what is actually ailing him. Mm-hmm. Sounds like there's a multiple amount of things. But The league signed off on LTIR for this year for it. Like, there was an investigation or had, you know, they, not investigation, but they had to research it. Yeah, look into it. So, obviously, his medical file is in front of somebody with the league, and they're going, this guy can't play this year, or a doctor saying he can't play. Like, right. The Hossa one, remember people were questioning the skin disorder that Hossa had?
Yeah.
He was fighting through it, and then... Yeah, it's through his equipment. Like, there's some weird things. Like, Hossa was a hell of a player.
There's Chicago. Another one. Has his deal been moved around?
I think it's done now.
Is it done now? It's expired? Yeah. Okay.
I think it's done. I think it is.
Yeah,
he did end up in Arizona. It was one of those contracts where they shipped them off to Arizona to create some cap space for them to get to the floor.
No, except Pronger, Datsyuk, Hossa, like, you know, they got a Hall of Fame.
David Clarkson. Isn't Clarkson in Arizona
right
now? I think
he might be now. I think you're right. He may still be lurking. Yeah, right. He could be down there. All right, Al's brother, what else do you have?
All right. Scotty Barnes will have more bar play this weekend than Mitch Marner.
That's a good one, Al's brother.
He's an infectious guy. I don't know if you guys have listened to some of his interviews that he's been doing now that he's back here. Well, we had him on the show too, didn't we?
Yeah,
when
we
he
did,
got drafted.
Yep.
Like, he's a good, smooth talker. I think his bar play... No, I'll be up there.
I'll send that.
Athletes.
Yeah, I'll send it. I mean, now Mitch Marner's already—he's making $11 million. He's a Leaf. He's a stud. He's a superstar. He was a first-team All-Star.
Yeah, but, and if the Leafs—sorry to interrupt, right? If the Leafs end up having two big wins and he's on the scoreboard, and Scotty Barnes and the Raptors are crawling out of there because they're not as deep a team as the Leafs,
that can go against you with bar play analytics. I understand where you're going with that, but it's a new guy in town,
bar
right?
Bar play analytics.
It's a new guy
in
town.
I'm going to end it.
I know Tim Leiwicki said one day in Toronto that the Raptors are going to be bigger than the Toronto Maple Leafs. That is complete nonsense, including their championship win. I think it's always going to be a hockey town. It always will be. And I've seen it. Maple Leafs roll up. They dominate. Sorry.
But the Raptors championship, there was four. How many million people were
there? A couple
there?
Million people downtown.
They had one day in the sun, okay?
That's more than one day.
More than one day. This.
Okay, there, Mr. Raptor Hayes. Like,
what? I'm just.
Okay, they had more than one day in the sun, but there'll never be a more popular
right,
than
Mr.
that Maple
Leaf. Mr. Maple Leaf.
Okay.
How? Like, what does it matter? I don't care one way or the other. It's not my bar play. I'm not the one that's down on the streets.
You were trying to be a Leiwicki hero, and you're like, oh, it's more than one day.
Well, you just one day in the. They won an NBA championship. Like, you were downtown for it. You were around for it.
Yeah,
the Leafs haven't won a playoff round in 17
years. That was supposed
years.
To be four, and we didn't have a sandwich.
The Leafs could help themselves if they won a playoff round for the first time in 17 years. That would probably
very
go a long way.
That
very
would help. True.
Yeah,
would
help. You want a day in the sun. There, that would probably help.
Yeah. I would do a 12-hour show with no sandwiches for that.
For one playoff win?
Duthie with air conditioning right beside us with full sandwiches and
He had a full buffet, like air conditioning, and we were stuck in the sun.
Yeah.
And there was like, I remember there was a counter with sandwich boxes, and there was like a tomato on a piece of lettuce, and it was like.
Didn't someone stick like sandwiches in their underpants or something? I remember the story around that you were sharing.
It was honestly wartime conditions.
It was a scene.
It wasn't good, and then it got scary there for a bit because of there was an incident, and like it was a long day.
Yeah.
Remember how we were waiting for that? We kept saying, like, yeah, they're right around the corner. That was like 5 hours.
That was the worst part. I was doing the time checks, and no one was giving me updates. Like, we were live on the air. I'm like, where are these guys? And they're like, they'll be here.
You guys, come on down there from noon till 4. You'll be out of there. Midnight, the parade starts, and it was a sideshow.
Well, we were supposed to go and do the show on Queen Street. Remember, we were supposed to wrap up at, like, 2 o'clock. I think we were on from 10 a.m., we were supposed to be on from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., take a couple hours off, and then go do the show live from 4 to 7. Yeah. And then they never showed up until like 3:30 or whatever, so we just stayed on the air. And then we were live on the air until, I think, like 5 o'clock. So we were on for like 7 hours straight. And then it was like, well, we're not going down to Queen Street now to do the show. So I think maybe the tap man took over. So I don't even remember.
Who knows? But it was a long day. And there was, the food situation and water situation.
Oh, it was like being in a desert.
Was thin.
It was so thin. And there's Duthie. Like, remember the scene in Three Amigos where
Yeah, he's pouring the water
bottoms.
Out.
He's just pouring the water out in the desert.
Washing his mouth out, spitting it out, and we're all just watching it. Like
that was Dudley, basically.
That was.
About 20 feet away from us. All right, Al's brother. Do you have any more, or is that the end of the road for your...
Yeah, we got a couple more. We can do, we can do one more.
Why don't we do one more?
We
we'll save one for Filter After Dark.
Sounds good. Well, let's keep on the theme of basketball here, because let's just kill two birds with one stone. Let's trade Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving and end both dramas.
Well, here's the problem. A vaccine doesn't come with the trade, Al's brother.
No, but the problem with Kyrie is that because he plays in Brooklyn, it's the local issue with the vaccine, and he can't play in Brooklyn. But he could play the home games and practice in his home buildings in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia.
Right. I'm gonna end it because I think it's more complicated than that. I think Kyrie Irving, isn't he threatening or through the grapevine, it's believed he's just going to retire if he's not in Brooklyn. Like, it's a mess. So and I don't think in Brooklyn, I wouldn't want Ben Simmons. You're right from our standpoint on the outside. End the discussion, end all the circus atmosphere. If you're Kevin Durant, James Harden, why would you want a guy that can't shoot, that's a mess himself in Ben Simmons?
I was watching a clip on Ben Simmons today and all the highlights of him. Like, they were showing him in practice, and then they were showing clips of last year. Every clip they showed was one of his shots, and it didn't go in.
No, it's
it didn't go in.
But, like, he's an elite defender. You have shooters
Dude,
out there
who
with
cares,
Durant
man?
Harden.
You don't want somebody with that clout and that's not a superstar. That's a
Max
good defender.
Max Deal, too, yeah. Spend that elsewhere if you're
Screw
Brooklyn.
That.
Yeah, and, again, if you're in Philly, you just got out of a mess with Ben Simmons.
Why
you want
do you
a
want
bigger mess
one?
With Kyrie Irving or close to it?
Who would you argue? Delete your account.
No, who would you argue is a bigger mess? Is it Simmons or is it Kyrie? I think Kyrie's a bigger mess.
I think he's more difficult to predict and handle because, you know, again, you're right, Al's brother. I guess technically in the state of Pennsylvania he could work and practice, but he can't play in New York. He can't come up here and play. Like, three teams in his division, Toronto, Brooklyn, New York, can't play.
Did I not see that there is actually some national exemption where the NBA players who are unvaccinated can play in
Toronto?
I
believe that is actually the case. Yeah, that may have been a carryover from Major League Baseball, but that to me should not apply. Like, that was back before there were vaccines available. They made those exceptions. I don't see why that would continue now that we're living in a very different world where vaccines are accessible. And if a Torontonian can't get into the building, and before, again, there were no fans in the building. You know, now fans are being held to a different standard. I don't think players should be allowed exemptions on that at all. I kind of hope that would change if it hasn't already. But not the case in New York, not the case with Brooklyn. So it would be a wild scene. It would be consistent with the way the NBA operates, too. It would just be crazy drama. Kyrie, Ben Simmons, staying in major markets, big teams in the East. They'd meet in the NBA Finals, or Eastern Final, I should say. But I just don't see it happening. Too complicated. I will say ended. All right, we'll keep one for After Dark, Filter After Dark, Al's brother.
Sounds good.
All right, there he is, Al's brother.